I asked a question this morning, if you'd be honest. And I'd like to see a show of hands today. You may even be here visiting. This may not be your regular church home, and then to our home folks. But I want to ask a question. Is there anybody in a big trial? Could I see your hand this morning? See your hand. Thank you. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. I've been praying, asking the Lord that I guess so some of you can understand it. There's times when preachers go through preaching, and then there's times when a preacher has a message. I can't say I have a message every time I stand, because I'd be lying. But I can say every time I stand, I try to give you the Word of God that is truth that can be applied to your life. This morning, I feel like God's put a message in me. And there's a lot of difference in preachers just preaching and a preacher that's got a message. And any preacher that's got a message, he'll pay the price of the message. And things in your life, you'll find out, don't come easy, don't come cheap, anything that's worth having. This morning, I want to look at a Bible character and found the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. And I just want to hit a few highlights, and then I'll get right in the message and let you be seated. The Bible said in the book of Genesis chapter 6 verse 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he's also flesh." Just like Brother David said, "Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now you'll never get saved apart from the Spirit of God. It takes the Spirit of God to draw you into His family, to save you. And if God's dealing with you, don't turn your back on the Lord. You come while He's dealing with you. Because He said, it shall not always strive with man. Verse 4, I've preached out of this a lot of times. There were giants in the earth in those days. And I'm going to tell you, in these days, there are a lot of giants that come along in our life that we face. And nothing's never changed about a giant. It's always bigger than you, and it's always bigger than me. And the Bible said in verse 5, "And God saw," God sees everything, "that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Nothing's changed there today. Wickedness is rampant. Wickedness is at an all-time high in the country where we live. The prison systems are over capacity today, because of the wickedness of men. And now the Bible said in verse 8, "But Noah." And I'm glad it's still a few people where the Holy Ghost had to insert a word letting him know that something had changed. In other words, Noah. I want to say that the whole world was out of step except Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, if Noah walked with God, that lets me know that the whole world was out of step. And it don't take you long to look around this morning. This old world is out of step. I mean, as Brother Dennis stood, everybody's looking for a solution here. I'm going to tell you, White House don't have a solution for America. It don't have a solution for me and you. It don't have a solution for what you're going through. But I'm glad God has got a reason, a purpose. Said he walked. Now, verse 14, he told Noah, he said, "Listen." He said, "I want you to make an ark of gopher wood. And room shalt thou make in the ark, and you shall pitch it within and without with pitch." Well, how come? Well, verse 17, he said, "Because the flood of waters was coming." Now, aren't you glad that God has prepared you for great disasters that may be coming. Can I tell you, one day this old world is going to burn up? And aren't you glad that God allowed you to get in the ark of safety of the Lord Jesus? And that He will protect you from a lost and a dying world? Aren't you glad you that are saved? You never have to think about going to hell. Heaven will be our home. But now He says this. The Bible said in verse number 10 of chapter 7. The Bible said, and it came to pass that after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, he's older now, in the second month and the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. And the windows of heaven were opened. And verse 12, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Thank you for standing this morning. Brother Kim, if you'd turn this thing down just a little bit. Now notice what the Bible said. It said that in the second month, in verse 11, the same day were the fountains of the deep broken up. What happened? Well, the pools began to issue forth, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And this is what I want to preach about this morning. God had helped me, and the Holy Ghost had trusted me on this little thought. When it rains, it pours. When it rains, it pours. Now, Noah has just experienced something in his life that he'd never experienced. Noah was saved. Noah was living for God. But all of a sudden, the bottom drops out. A flood appeared. Can I tell you today that it may be stormy at your house, but if you'll notice, the windows of heaven were open. Nothing takes God by surprise. I'm glad that God sends us just what we need. Now, preacher, can you actually say that you're glad of this great downpouring that's happened at your house? All I can say is I'm trusting Him in the downpour. All I can say is it's no time now to throw the towel in. I'm going to tell you, there'll be times in your life that you will not understand. And I want to tell you, in your Bible, it's okay to not understand, but you simply must trust. And as Brother Tim sang the song today, it is a children's song. Aren't you glad God's children can trust Him? Now I want to share some things about this. When it rains, it pours. In chapter 6 and verse number 17, notice how the waters found him. Now, I want to say that you don't have to go hunting trouble. Trouble will find you. The Bible said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now, how the waters found him. In chapter 6 and verse number 17, the Bible said, behold, I do bring a flood of waters. He brings it. Listen, don't blame everything on the devil. Don't blame everything on the devil. All the devil can do to you is what God allows him to do to you. If you don't believe it, read the first chapter of Job when you get home. I mean, the devil is no more than a puppet on a string. What are you saying, preacher? Oh, I'm saying the devil can't get to you unless God allows him to get to you. And so we see how the waters found him. Now in verse 8, they found him believing. I want to tell you, the water may be getting up at your house, but it don't mean that you've done nothing wrong. Now Noah was walking with God. He was believing and he was behaving. And I tell you another thing, not only was he believing and behaving, he was building. He was doing what God called him to do, but a big storm got up. And you know, I don't know about this crowd that's on the TV today, and they're saying, well, if you'll serve God, you'll just have everything. If you'll serve God, and the son of the devil trying to shut me down this morning, my boy, ain't this amazing?
Ain't it a man? I'm glad to know I'm right on target this morning. But you know, so I preached a meeting last week. I ain't had one iota problem with my voice. But now God's given me something for my people and the devil trying to shut me down. I'd love to stick my tongue out at him, but I know better. He'll beat my brains out. But I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side this morning. Now, I will tell you that Noah was believing. I'm glad I'm a believer in the body of Christ. Noah was behaving. You don't have to walk the way this world's walking, honey. And if you're waiting for God to give you trinkets to let you walk right, or God to reward you for walking right, you won't walk a lick. You'll turn around and you'll be setting on God. You better be sure to live for the God of this battle will cost you something this morning. This salvation costs the Lord something. It'll cost you something. It'd be an idiot to tell you that salvation's cheap and free. It ain't free. That's the biggest misstatement that's ever been made in Christendom. It cost the Lord His life on Calvary. And honey, if you live for this Jesus, it's going to cost some things in your life. Now how the storm found him. Found him believing. I'm glad I'm a believer. And I want to say this. Storms may come, but thank God I know in whom I believe. And so we find him behaving. He is a walking. Ain't it a blessing to be around some people that are walk different than how this world's a walking? I'm glad our children can look around here and find some people that's walking different than the world's a walking. And I want to say this. I'm glad this church is walking different than the average Baptist church is walking this morning. God didn't intend the Baptist church to become a coffee shop or Starbucks. God never intended it to be a social club nor an entertainment center. It's God's house where praising and preaching and praying's to be going on. And He wants His people to gather there in one mind and one accord and be obedient whether the storms come or storms don't come. He just wants you to be so settled that you're going to serve the Lord. I've heard a lot of people say, well, this thing didn't work out. Well, let me tell you, honey, you ain't got the church goer in you then. Now, hard times is going to come. Noah walked with God. The world was out of step, but we see now how the storm found him. Found him believing, found him behaving, and it found him building. I just want to tell you, get busy doing what God wants you to do. Quit looking around at the circumstances and simply trust God that He knows what He's doing and get busy in doing what God wants you to do. How the storm found him. Then secondly, I want you to notice how not only how the waters found him, but how the waters forced him. In chapter 7, in verse number 7 now, the Bible said in verse 1, and the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Then in verse 7 now, how the waters forced him. I'm going to say Noah went in. You'll find out that when big waters come, they will push you toward where God is. It pushed him because of the waters. Now let me tell you something. One good thing about this, the way it forced him, it pushed him into something. I'm glad that my troubles has pushed me into the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people, when troubles come, they turn to this and they turn to that. But boy, Noah knew where to go. The Bible said that he went in. I'm glad I'm in this thing with both feet this morning. Notice in chapter 7, verse 1, he told Noah, come. He didn't tell him, go. He simply said, come. Why did he say that, Pastor? Because God was in there. And he said, come. Ain't it amazing that he wasn't outside and said, go in. But ain't you glad that God is in there waiting on you when troubles come? I'm glad I got a place I can run to. The psalmist David said, there's a rock higher than I. I'm glad I've got the ark of safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've noticed when storms come, they always push me toward God and they better me in the days to come. Now, how the waters forced him. It pushed him. Secondly, it put him. It put him right in where he needed to be. Boy, ain't you glad that the storms can take you exactly where God's wanting you to be. I can tell you this. And when a storm, when a genuinely flood comes where you're at, you'll be closer to God if you're saved than anything that can ever go on. Well, God will have fellowship with you in a way that you've never experienced. Can I tell you something? It's hard for God to fellowship with His people in riches and silver and gold. You know why? Because He never had none. But God knows how to fellowship with His people when they're suffering and when they're on the bottom, because He lived there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You'll notice not only how these waters found Him, but how these waters forced Him. They pushed Him to God. They put Him in. And also, they protected Him. Aren't you glad He took His family? God is a place of refuge. Ain't you glad that God's big enough that you can take all of your family in? And I'm going to tell you, you'll notice in times when floods come, it will affect your whole family. It will affect your whole family. It so affected the whole family that it drove them all right in that ark. Boy, how blessed are we that a storm had come up, Brother Tim, and put our whole family in a place of safety. Boy, ain't it amazing how, you know, a lot of times we say, well, I can handle things if it's just me. But honey, when it starts affecting your children and your grandchildren and your wife or your husband, it's a whole lot different then. I'm telling you, it would do us good this morning to get everything and everybody we got in the ark of safety of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I'm glad it's enough room for all this morning. I read about this ark. It was 3 million square feet. And this building, some, I think, 80 by 50 or 100 by 50, that'd be 5,000 square feet roughly. I like one of the old writers said, God designed an ark big enough for everybody. Can I tell you, God's designed a heaven big enough for everybody. Boy, I'm telling you, if you don't want to go there, don't worry, you won't go there. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to go there, I'm glad you can go there. Now, ain't it amazing? Only 8 people were saved. Now, what we see in Noah's ark is not the ark of this Bible. This ark, by the measurements, looked like a coffin. It looked like a floating box. We see this thing of simplicity that looks like a big rowboat. That's not what Noah was in, honey. It was in a big coffin. Aren't you glad that because the Lord Jesus died for me and you, we can run in the side of Him and there be in the ark of safety this morning? Aren't you glad there's room at the cross for sinners? Sinner, I don't care what you've done today. I don't care how long you've done it. There's room at the cross for you. For you, there's room at the... It's room for me and for you and for my children and your children. I'm glad the ark is sufficient for all this morning. He took His whole family inside. Oh, how the storm forced Him. How it found Him. But then thirdly, notice this, how the waters favored Him. Now this is hard to imagine, but in Genesis 7 and verse number 17, the Bible said, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. How the waters favored Him. I want to say in verse number 16, how did it favor Him, preacher? It locked Him in. The Bible said in verse 16, and they went in, went male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times storm come and they shut us up with God, and you can't get out till He lets you out. Now, I want to tell you this by experience today. I ain't got this out of the Reader's Digest. I ain't got it out of a book. This is amazing about a man pastoring. He's got to go through things in order to get a message for His people. Now, there's been something's had me locked up a while. And I'm going to tell you, when your trouble comes, honey, and locks you up with God, that's exactly where He wants you to be. The Bible said He shut him in. Now, I can tell some of y'all can't get it. Some of you trying to get it. But let me tell you this morning. I don't know no better place, Miss Tina, than to be shut up with Him. I mean, you just can't get out, Brother Joe. I mean, you're in there and you just want out, but you just can't get out. I wonder if your storm ever locked you up and you just can't get out. I wonder if it ever blows your way and shut you up with God and you give anything if you could just get out of it. But boy, what he didn't know at that time is the best place he could be. He's shut in with God. How come you know he is in there, preacher? Because he said, come. Boy, ain't it a blessing when you shut up with God. I've been shut up real tight with God now a couple of weeks. I've noticed places I'd go preach, how the preaching had changed. Now, I'm going to tell you, honey, it's nothing like knowing the heartbeat of God. It's nothing like knowing about His presence. Oh, how the storm favored him. I can tell you one good thing out of it. You'll get closer to him than you've ever been. Amen. If you're not a child of God, you may go yonder way like Jonah did. But if you are a child of God, honey, he's got a whale out there someplace that's to swallow you. Or you got an option like Noah. You can simply just run in the ark of safety. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. I'd rather just lay down hollow calf rope instead of saying, God, I'm bigger, I'm better, I'll get through this on my own. I just want to throw my hands down, throw the flag of surrender this morning and say, dear God, without you I can do nothing. Without you I can do nothing. Now how it favored him. The Bible said that it locked him in. And then in verse 18, look what happened. And the waters prevailed, were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up on the face of the waters. Not only did it lock him, but it lifted him. It lifted him above the earth. Our problem is we're way too earthly. Our problem is we get way too attached to this old world. But ain't it amazing when the waters go to come and it'll lift you up above this old world? Man, I love to play in this world, don't you? All my toys are down here. Any of y'all got toys? Man, I love toys. I love toys. I love scooters and I love boats and I love four-wheelers and shotguns and deer leases and fishing poles. I just love toy box down here. A lot of you love cars. I love cars too. I mean, ain't it amazing how the shine quickly gets off of them? Man, we just love to dwell down here. But let me tell you, I can tell you right now what God's will for everybody in this building that say to get out of this world. And buddy, when that storm come, not only did it lock him in, it lifted him up. Can I tell you, you'll never be as high as you could be unless a storm comes in your life and floats and takes you up out of this old world. You know, we're so attached to things. We love security. Any of y'all have a little blanket when you was growing? You know what I had? Y'all gonna laugh. Don't laugh at it. I had a monkey. I drug that monkey everywhere. You know something? My oldest girl, we was someplace and we bought her a stuffed cat. The only cat we ever had at our house. Praise God. And she pulled that thing out of the closet the day. Me and Mr. Renee went over there, you know, and we waiting on this grandbaby to get here. And she went, she said, Daddy, you remember this? And there's going to have a hard sale. And Macy wanted to sell it. She said, no, you ain't selling my cat. Macy said, well, who in the world want to buy it? Look at this thing. I mean, she's drugging it. That was her little security blanket. Honey, you talking about a roadkill. This thing is nappy. It's amazing how it looks. But we've all got them security blankets. Man, I tell you, we love to have something to reach back on this old world. You know, old Peter had two fisher coats. And no doubt he said, now if this preaching thing don't work out, I'm just go back fishing. And I've noticed that when God's really wanting us to do something, He wants us to go by faith. Do you notice, do you remember when this church really stepped out in faith and would love to start helping people? We didn't have the money to buy these cars. We didn't have the money to help these men of God and these women of God, the people. We didn't have the money. You know what? God had us right where He wanted us. So He could get all the honor and all the glory out of that. Can I tell you, God's big enough to pay your light bill. He's big enough to pay my light bill. He wants us to quit counting on a job, on a bank account, on things we can reach back to. Say, dear God, I've got nothing to reach back for. All I do is go your way. You're my everything this morning, Lord. He loves to get that security away from us, don't he? Man, I'm going to tell you what, it's nice to have something to lean back on. It's nice when your car's clunked out, you got another in the driveway to drive. Man, it is nice, nice, nice. I mean, ain't it nice to have security? But let me ask you something. What happens when your security's gone? The storm came. The Bible said the windows of heaven opened. God rolled it out of heaven for a purpose. Do you think that window just flew up? No, 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 hon. He's got it latched. And it may not be long. He reaches over there and he unlatches that window. Heaven rolls it up. Now, preacher, I thought only blessings come out of them windows. No, I tell you what comes out of them windows. Whatever he needs to really bless these young'uns. Preacher, I don't know how in the world this storm can bless me. Hang on, it ain't over yet. But I can tell you this, all things work together for good to them that love God. And I've noticed there's times I just don't understand. But now I want you to notice how it favored him. I want to say it locked him in, it lifted him up. And in verse 18, it launched him out. The Bible said, it increased greatly upon the earth and the ark went. Lord, I'm fixing to run. I know it don't mean nothing to you. But I'm going to tell you what, not only did how it favored him, do you find out it locked him in and it lifted him out, but it launched him over. It went up on the face of the waters. The Bible said, and it went. Well, where did it go? Not where Noah was driving it, because it didn't have a steering wheel on it. Didn't have a rudder on the back. We do pretty good, you know. As long as we can grab the rudder and sort of guide it. But you know what he was in there? He was in there by God's mercy and by God's grace. And everywhere the wind blew is where it was pushing him in that ark. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. How favored you are if floods come. God's taking you someplace that you've never been before. It went. And all this morning I see how favored it was, because it locked him in and it lifted him up and it launched him out. And then I want to say in verse number 23, he learned great lessons. The Bible said Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. Now, isn't it amazing? You hear a lot of people say, I don't see how you took that. I don't see how you made it through that storm. I can tell you how. Through the ark of safety. He learned a great lesson. He learned that greater is he that is in me and him than that he that is in the world. Ain't it amazing that the Hebrew children made it through the fire, but the ones that throwed them in the fire didn't make it? Ain't it amazing the lessons that you learn, that there is grace for each need? God has sufficient grace for whatever you go through in your life. But you'll never know God had that kind of grace till you experienced it. This man's went through things in the last week or so. And you know something? I see the grace of Almighty God. This lady's been through things that only the grace of God could take. Can I tell you something? Last couple weeks something's happened to your preacher. That only the grace of God. Only the grace of God. Has it not consumed me? And you'll find that things can come to God's children that people don't know how in the world you've made it through. But to God be the glory, you will make it through. God's not done yet. Just hang on to the Lord. He's got a great purpose for His children. It ain't over yet. But ain't it amazing? People say, how did you get through that? I tell you a simple little word you can say to describe it all. Grace. His grace is sufficient. Now this morning, how it favored him. And then I want you to notice not only how the waters found him. He was believing and behaving and building. He was right where God wanted him. how the waters forced him. It pushed him right to God, locked him up with him. How it favored him. It got him out of the place of where he was. And you know something? Have you ever noticed that you can stay at some place way too long? Boy, you can get so complacent. Bob said that ark went. You know something? You that are in this storm today, I bet you've prayed more in the last few weeks than you've ever prayed. You've probably gotten your Bible more than you've ever gotten your Bible. Well, some of you have been to church more than you've ever been. You know why? He's taking you someplace. And so we see today how it found him, how it forced him, how it favored him. But in chapter 8, verse 13, now I may run. If I do, I'll get back. Just hang on with me. But I want you to look how it freed him. The storm freed him. How can the storm free me up, preacher? Right now I'm locked in. Well, it ain't over yet. But it freed him. Now, I want you to see this Bible principle. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I never seen it until I studied it this week and found it. How the waters freed him. Chapter 8, verse 13. Chapter 8, verse 13. The Bible said, now it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters was dried up. Praise God. From off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. And behold, the face of the ground was dry. And the second month, on the 720th day of the month, was the earth dried. And here it is. And God spake to Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Okay, preacher, how did it free him? First of all, it freed him of his place. Look what he said. I want you to go forth. He did not say, come out. He said, go forth. Why you say that? Because God is in there with him the whole trip. And he said, go out. He wasn't on the outside said, now come on out. No, he is inside. He said, go out. Go out. Now, I want to be sure you that growing spiritually get that. Some of y'all look at me just like little bitty lambs. You saying, what's he saying? I ain't got that yet. Okay, rewind. Let's rewind. Give you this great analogy. You and your storm, you're in the ark, you're in Christ, you're on the other side of that door. You're in there. And if God is out here, this is what He'd say. Come out! Come out! That ain't what happened. This is what happened. Go out! Go out! Go out! Why did He say go out? Because He isn't there with Him. Ain't you glad you got a God that'll ride with you through the storm? Boy, I tell you, I can barely wait till He says, go out. Right now, I'm locked in there, Brother Marlin. Brother Dennis, right now, I'm locked in there. But there's coming a day. He gonna say, go out, boy. Storm's over. Hit dry ground. Hallelujah. And go to running. Lord, I love them Bible truths. But let me tell you something. You're too crippled, too high for crutches if you think God don't go through everything with you. God just don't let things come and wonder how you're going to make it. God goes through it with you. And so we see here how it freed him. I want to say it freed him of his place. Right now, you're in a bad place, maybe. If not, you soon will be. I won't tell you. You're more apt to be in a storm serving God than to not be in a storm not serving God. But it's one thing about it. Storms come to both worlds. But those that are in Christ, they make it through. Now, how it freed him? It freed him of his place. And it freed him of his problem. You know, does any of y'all remember maybe a year ago or so, I preached on
the mind and how depressing Elijah was in that cave and dark cloud. I got so depressed. Now, I can remember this about it. It was November Christmas time, and I'm going to tell you, it was pitiful the way your preacher was. It was pitiful. I mean, I just couldn't, Brother Jerry, I just couldn't get out of it. I was in depression. I didn't want to go to work. I didn't even want to come here and preach. All I wanted to do was just stay in a place with the lights cut off. Miss Flo, I got to thinking, building this sermon, the way this storm freed him. It freed him of his place, but it freed him of his problem. I don't even know what had me so depressed. I mean, I was trying to think and reason, Lord, what had me so depressed? I don't know. Preacher, what's your point? The storm passed. And when that storm came, it freed me of my place, but it freed me of my problem, and it freed me of my past. Boy, I'm going to tell you, storms will free you up. Oh, it will free you up. Now, I want you to notice this. He landed in a whole new world. I mean, God had totally annihilated everything. It was over. God had totally made a new place out of everything when He stepped out of that storm. Ain't it amazing how storms change you? Ain't it amazing that you look at you before you went in this great flood, but when you come out on the other side, you're looking around and you are in new ground territory that you've never been before. But ain't it a blessing? You can look back and you can tell them others going in it said, you can make it. You can make it. Some of you been through things that you can cry back to me and say, preacher, you can make it. I've been through some things. I can cry out to some of you today and say, you can make it. Because you know how come you can make it? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. How the waters freed him. But then I close with this. And I'd never noticed this truth in the Bible. How the waters fashioned him. The Bible said now he told him, go forth out of the ark. And have you ever noticed now what happens in verse number 20? He gets out of the water. The storm's over. He gets out of the ark and he gets out on new ground. And I don't want to talk now how the waters freed him, but I want to tell you how the waters fashioned him. Look what he done in verse number 20. I want to say it compelled to worship. The Bible said, and Noah built an altar of the Lord, took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. I've heard Brother Dennis say this before. He said, I can't worship because I ain't in a storm. But honey, let me tell you something. When Brother Noah hit the ground, he went to praising God. You know what it done? It fashioned him in worship. Now, you'll have to agree with me this morning. Your worship. A lot of you never even had any worship till the storm hit. But buddy, when you got out of that worship and through that worship, you began to throw your hands toward a God in heaven could help you. And boy, when you hit the ground, he builded that altar and he said, dear God, thank you that you spared me through all of this. Dear God, thank you for everything that's good. I want to thank you for what you've done. God's been so good to me. Can I tell you this morning? I'd be a crazy preacher to tell you that storms don't come. I'd be so crazy to tell you that tribulations and trials don't hurt, because they do hurt. They hurt severely. But I'm going to tell you, God's making something out of me and you this morning. He's compelling a worship in our heart. He wants us to be in a place that only we can realize and we can understand He can fix it. And He's the only one that'll see us through. You got family members this morning turn their back on you. You've got husband and wives to turn their back on children. But God will never turn His back on you, friend. Boy, I tell you what. It fashioned His worship. And then look what happened there in that next verse. Not only did it compel a worship, but you'll see secondly that it consecrated a walk in verse 21 in the Lord. Miss Sherry, if you come, smelled a sweet savor. This man told something about me this week preaching. You know what he said? Some of you probably won't appreciate it. But he said, preacher, your preaching's changed. He said, "You're a lot sweeter preacher than you used to be."
When a man can only cry, he'll stay sweet. Can I tell you how it fashioned him? It said God smelt a sweet savor. Oh, I know some of you, you're not even getting part of it. But you just wait till it comes in. And he shuts you up with him. You just wait till it starts doing this on you. There's going to be stuff start oozing out of you you didn't even know was in you. Man, I used to be one of them preachers that skin your hide and still can if it need to be. And man, I thought if I wasn't a killing and a kicking, I wasn't preaching. But I tell you what, God is my witness in my heart this morning. It's my heart that I can be a help to a people that's a hurting, that's a suffering, and that don't understand. Boy, I'm going to tell you how God fashioned him. He made him sweeter. When you come out of your storm, you'll be sweeter. Oh, you'll listen. You won't be so judgmental. Well, bless God, if that was my youngins. Well, I tell you what I'd do. Yeah, wait till you're mashed and your guts is out. Wait till you're shut in and locked up. But what a wonderful place. I can't even express to you how sweet the Lord is. You know why His walk is sweeter? Because He hung around somebody a year that was a lot sweeter than Him. He's in that ark, shut up a year. And you know something? You are who you run with. Some of you are better people because you run around with the right kind of people. And some of you are people not doing too good because you're hanging around with the wrong people. My sister plays this morning. I just want to simply open our altar up. And I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you this. When you come out, you're going to be fashioned in a way like you never was fashioned. It compelled to worship. And it consecrated a walk. I wonder if the storm blowed up down where you live. I wonder. Are you facing floods of things like you've never experienced in all of your life? If not, I don't want to be a bearer of bad news to you, but storms are coming. You can write that down over there someplace. The preacher said storms are coming. They're coming. If need be, you're in heaven. It's through manifold temptations, variegated trials. That's what he said. But aren't you glad you don't have to go through it alone? I'm so glad we've got a God that loves us, that sees about us. That Romans 8:28 is still true, for we know that all things work together to good for them that love God. I'm glad He's working things out in our life. Glad He's making us sweeter. Glad He's helping us in our worship. You'll never go wrong worshiping God. You'll never go wrong walking with God. Working for God, witnessing for God. I want to say today, to God be the glory. When it rains, it pours. But God is faithful. He's faithful. And I praise Him of His faithfulness.